We have a really full, important agenda today. And I want to welcome our guest panelists here, Senator Brown and Representative Krieger, who are both members of a work group that has put in hours and hours and hours of work on the subject of juvenile dependency. Okay, we're going to start today by opening a work session on Senate Bill 414. Council.
Senate Bill 414 comes to you from Senators Brown, Cruz, Representative Krieger, and Schaffler. You have before you the Dash 2 amendments and the Dash 3 amendments. I'll tell you up front, the only difference between the two is one uses the word reasonable efforts, the other one uses the words diligent efforts. If I can, these amendments are basically replacing the bill that's before you. And let me just kind of walk through the bill. Section 1 amends RS 419A004, a definitional section. And when you go over to page 4, it defines sibling, means one or two or more children or ward related, A, by blood or adoption through a common legal parent or through the marriage of the children's or ward's legal or biological parents. And that will become more significant later when we get into the issue of placement of children. The next section is just a confirmation that does the same thing, probably to a sunsetted bill. And then we go to page 9, Madam Chair, members of the committee, and it's amending 419A004 again, and it says it's the policy of the State of Oregon to safeguard and promote each child's right to safety, stability, and Oregon recognizes the importance of a child's relationship with parents, siblings, grandparents, and other relatives. It's a statement of policy. Madam Chair, members of the committee, going over to pages 10 and 11, there's an amendment by Section 4 to 419B185. Reading in total, it says, starting in Section 1, a child award is taken or is about to be taken into protective custody pursuant to 419B, 150, 160, 165, 168, 171, is placed in detention or shelter care. And then it goes on at the hearing, A, then goes down to E. When the court determines that a child award shall be removed from the home or continued in care, the court shall make written findings whether the department made reasonable efforts pursuant to 419B192. The court shall include in its written findings a brief description of the efforts made by the department.
And, of course, in the Dash 3, that would be diligent.
That's correct, Madam Chair. Okay. Then going over to Section 5, amending 419B192, the main part is Section 2. If a child award in need of placement or continuation in substitute care has a sibling also in need of placement or continuation in substitute care, the department shall make reasonable efforts, in the three that would be diligent efforts, to place the sibling together and shall report to the court the efforts made by the department to carry out the placement unless the court finds the placement of the siblings together is not in the best interest of the child or the ward or the siblings or the ward's siblings. Madam Chair, members of the committee, then going over to the page 12 and 13, 3, an attempt to place a child award pursuant to subsections 1 and 2 of the section, the department shall consider, but not be limited to considering the following factors, and it goes over E, the ability of the person being considered to provide a placement for the child's award sibling who is also in need of placement or continuation in substitute care. In Section 6, Madam Chair, members of the committee, amending 419B337, and it would read, starting in Section 1, when the court determines it would be in the best interest and for the welfare of the award, then continuing on, the court shall make a written finding as to whether C, reasonable efforts, or in the other bill, diligent efforts, have been made to place the ward pursuant to ORS 419B192. In standalone Section 3, the court may make an order regarding visitation by the ward's parents or siblings. The Department of Human Services is responsible for developing and implementing a visitation plan consistent with the court's order. Madam Chair, then going over to Section 7, amending 419B368. It's basically just including on lines 6 and 7 a different reference to expanding the reference to include D and E of this particular section. And then section 8 amends 419B, 443, with the part pertinent part being in 16, 17, and then reading from the beginning, the agency described in 419B, 440, shall file the reports required. The court, the agency shall file reports more frequently. The court so orders. Reports shall include, but be not limited to, D, for a child award and substitute care, a list of all the schools a child award has attended since the child award has been in guardianship or legal custody of the agency, the length of time the child award has spent in each school, and for child award 14 years of age or older, the number of high school credits the child award has earned. E, a list of dates of face-to-face contacts the assigned caseworker has had with the child award since your child award has been in guardianship or legal custody of the agency, and for child award and substitute care, the place of each contact. F, for child award and substitute care, a list of the visits the child award has had with the child's award's parents or siblings since the child award has been in the guardianship or legal custody of the agency, and the place and date of each visit. And then continuing on with F would be an amendment that would add a proposed visitation plan or proposed continuation modification of existing plan. That would be a proposed as one of the other things that has to be brought back to the court. Section 9, amending ORS 419B 449, reading in total again, upon receiving a report, etc., the court shall hold a hearing. And then go on down to A, B, whether the agency has, having guardianship or legal custody of the child award, has made reasonable, and the other bill, other amendment would be diligent efforts to place the child or the ward pursuant to 419B 192. The number of placements made, school attendance, face-to-face contacts with the assigned caseworker, and this is pretty much similar to the language we talked about before, Madam Chairman of the Committee, for child award over 14, whether the child award isn't progressing adequately towards graduation from high school, and if not, the efforts that have been made by the agency having custody guardianship to assist a child award to graduate. Section 10, on amending 419B 470, a standalone provision. If a ward has been surrendered for adoption or the parent's rights have been terminated and the department has not physically placed the ward for adoption or initiated adoption proceedings within 6 months after the surrender of the entry of an order terminating the parent's parental rights, the court shall conduct a permanency hearing within 30 days after receipt of the report required under 419B 440 subsection 3. Another standalone section. 7. After permanency hearing conducted under subsection 4 of this section, the court shall conduct subsequent permanency hearings at least every 6 months for as long as a ward is not physically placed for adoption or adoption proceedings have not been initiated. Then going over to the next page, section 11, amending ORS 419B 476, reads basically at a permanency hearing the court shall, and going down to C, make findings of fact under 419B 449 section 2. Okay, going over to page 24, be section ORS 419B 498, and then going down to page 25, the department shall file a petition to terminate the parental rights of a parent in circumstances described in subsection 1 of this section unless B, there is a compelling reason for which the document and case plan for determining the file such a petition would not be in the best interest of the child award. Such compelling reason includes but are not limited to, and then going down to subsection big B, another permanent plan is better suited to meet the health and safety of the child award, and then new language including the need to preserve the child award sibling attachment and relationship. Madam Chairman of the Committee, subsection 13 is just including another reference, changing a reference. That's pretty much the amendments, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you for the run-through. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I just want to give the committee a little bit of background. about the two amendments and where the issues are. As this committee is aware, the Motley Crew, as I like to call them, Representative Krieger, Senator Cruz, and Representative Schaffler and I have had a work group meeting. I will tell you that following the last hearings on all these bills, a subcommittee or a real work group was put together, and I believe, and I'll see some nodding in the heads if I have it wrong, but the agency was represented in that work group. Department of Justice was there, Ms. Sugar. My office was there. Mr. Taylor was there. Believe Timothy Travis was there from the Department of Justice, not Department of Justice, Judicial Branch. A Juvenile Rights Project was there, and I believe Ingrid Swenson was there on the appropriate bills. They went through and sort of reworked all of the bills, including Senator Byers 457, and pulled pieces based on relating clauses and did the nitty-gritty detail work that we really needed them to do, and we're very grateful for that. They also, my understanding is, came to a resolution on almost all of the issues that you have before you. I will tell you then, our work group, the legislative work group, met and agreed with almost all the changes but the diligent. The work group had agreed on reasonable efforts. I think all the parties working made compromises in order to get there, and I will just tell you that after kind of hearing the arguments from both sides and really looking at all the legislation that we put together, the Motley Crew work group decided to move forward with diligent efforts. But we wanted to give this committee the option of both, and that's why you have two amendments here. And I'll let my two colleagues speak about why they felt strongly about the diligent efforts versus reasonable efforts. And then I don't know if the committee wishes to hear from other parties involved. So,
Representative Krieger.
Chair Burdick, thank you for giving me an opportunity to be here today. What you've just heard from Senator Brown is that we forced ourselves as a group to use due diligence. It's not improper to ask the agency to do the same. I'll just leave it at that.
Senator Cruz?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I mean, what turned it for me, because we were trying to get the understanding of the culture, and on the front end, we liked going to diligent, and then we were kind of convinced that maybe we shouldn't, but then at the meeting when we had the judge who sits on all these cases in here, and I asked her point blank, do you understand this? Does this work? And she said yes. I said, then let's go to diligent. And basically that was all four of us agreed, and hearing from the judge that hears these cases that was okay with her is what convinced me, and I think convinced all of us. So that was our decision point.
And I presume that and I presume you also discussed the fiscal issues involved with this.
Correct.
Okay, I want to give Ramona Foley a chance to come up here and maybe give the other side on this.
And Madam Chair, while she's coming up, I just make a couple of points. I mean, Judge Waller's testimony was sort of critical, was very critical for me as well. I think our juvenile court judges and referees are very used to having different standards, including reasonable and active efforts that they apply. Her testimony talked about how the impact on the court system itself would be very minimal because as they fill out, it's actually a form that they use, and so they're filling out, they're responding in form. And I think the other piece that for me was really critical was the stats we saw and the testimony of young Ms. McFarlane about how critical the sibling attachments are in these children's lives, and that for them, the sibling attachment may be the only piece of family that they have left, and how critical it is for their success. So,
Senator Brown, as you gaze around the room, is there somebody here who would be a particular spokesperson outside of the legislative work group who you would like to have up? Because I know Ms. Foley has a little different perspective.
Madam Chair, I would certainly ask someone from Juvenile Rights Project, probably Ms. Sherbo, if the committee needs to have more information.
Yeah. Madam Chair, before we hear from Ramona, I would just like to say both her and Mickey Cerise have been incredibly great partners in this work, and I want to thank them for all of their diligent efforts.
Very good. Good. And Mickey, you're welcome to join Ms. Foley up here at the table if you'd like to do that. I should have said that at the get-go. So go ahead. I won't try to put words in your mouth. I'm just going to give you an opportunity to speak on this.
Chair Burdick, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ramona Foley. I'm an assistant director at DHS for Children, Adults, and Families. And first, I would preface this with, I'm not so sure it's a difference of opinion about this. What I wanted to bring to the committee's attention is, because I do think we must do a much, much better job for serving children in the foster care system. There's no argument with any principle that's been brought forth as new language about keeping siblings together. If they're not together, making sure that they have access to visitation with each other, all of those principles are excellent. The piece that we were a little puzzled and we wanted to make sure that you actually had some time to think about is the message that diligent brings versus the message of reasonable. We have three federal standards that we have to meet in child welfare around reasonable efforts. The first of those is we have to make reasonable efforts to keep children from having to come into foster care, and that means they maintain safely in their own homes. The second standard is after a child comes into foster care, we have to have reasonable efforts, according to the court, to make sure the child gets returned to the family, if that's going to be at all possible. And then the third standard for the federal government is we have to have, in federal law, reasonable efforts to get the child some other type of permanency if the child can't go back home. So I was thinking about how this looks. We went through a sensitive review, and I was actually contemplating the change in statute with the diligent requirement to keep children together. And many of the children we serve in foster care come with different family trees. In that particular sensitive review, as I recall, and some of you may recall better than me, we had three children who entered care, and they all three had different paternal relatives, different fathers, as I remember, different grandparents. And I was trying to think about then for our workers, for our workforce, does this mean that they would spend their effort toward making sure all three of those children stay together regardless of where that placement is, or are they going to focus on the reasonable effort of trying to keep these children from having to come into foster care by having the children go to appropriate relatives, even if it's not the same relative? Those are the kinds of tensions that I think we deal with every day in child welfare. But in terms of a policy, I just wanted folks to think through, and we're going to make what work. We can make anything work that you all come back to us with. If you all go with diligent, we'll do everything in our power to make that work. What we'll want to do is make sure workers understand that we're not saying they can now have a lower standard for trying to keep children out of care or moving children to permanency. That was one of the reasons we were drawn to the language around reasonable, because these are new concepts in the law. And this is exactly what our staff should be doing. They should be making reasonable efforts every day to keep children together, but also keep children with relatives when that's at all possible. So those are just some of the things that we talked about in the work group. I think the work group, by the way, has been excellent. It's been one of the most open and receptive conversations with JRP, with Bill Taylor and others, and I think all of us have just come in with very good intent that what we want to come out of this is going to be something that's going to make improvements in the child welfare system. And so I wanted to position that this is not in opposition to anything. It's more about this is going to be a public policy, and you all get to make that policy, and then we will try to train to that as best we can.
I appreciate that. I you'll be able to tell when I ask this question this is not an area of specialty for me. That's why I'm so grateful for Senator Brown and Representative Krieger for joining us, and for Senator Cruz for serving on the work group. But in all cases, doesn't the best interest of the child, doesn't that overlay everything you do? So if you have a diligent standard, yes, it's a higher standard than reasonable, but wouldn't best interest of the child basically trump that?
Chair Burdick, that is, overall, that's true. And I think what this could create is it in the child's best interest then to not come into foster care and go to their grandmother, or is it in the child's best interest to stay with a sibling who doesn't have a grandmother to go to, but the child will be able to stay with that sibling and enjoy the sibling relationship? And those are the kind of individual case decisions that we would be relying on the courts to help us make. But you could see how you could argue from two perspectives, what's the best interest of that child? Is it the relative connection with a grandparent, or is it the relative connection with a sibling? And we have some of both in the cases we work on, and I know I don't want to speak for JRP, but they see cases from both perspectives on this, where sometimes it is best for the two siblings, even if they're not going to a relative, to stay together.
Senator Chris.
Thank you, Madam Chair, but that's still the decision matrix now without the word change.
Chair Burdick and Senator Cruz, it is. And what we are just responding to is the difference in the word diligent. And I did have to look that up in the dictionary as well, because I don't use that word every day. But in looking up...
You will now.
I will now. Looking that up, it does look like it does focus the worker's attention to this is going to be the higher standard of the work you're doing. And often these are, especially in small counties, these are the same workers making decisions around recommendations of removal of the child, whether or not the child goes to a relative, or whether or not the child goes to a foster home because the siblings can stay together in some way.
Senator Brown.
Two quick questions. Ms. Foley, on the reasonable efforts standard, both for removal prevention and return, those are all, you mentioned that those are federally forced, for lack of a better word, but also our dollars are tied to that standard, isn't that correct?
Chair Burdick and Senator Brown, they are.
Okay. So we can't really change the standard or we lose money.
We could improve the standard, but we don't have the money to improve the standard, but we can't change that standard. You're right. Our $4 would be in jeopardy.
Okay. Madam Chair, one more question.
Please.
The sensitive review case, and I was not involved in that, and so I wasn't aware with facts, but my recollection from that case is that those three children that you described, none of them were placed with relatives. Is that right initially?
Chair Burdick and Senator Brown, two of those children were placed with relatives, and the third child is the child that was subject to the review.
Okay. All right.
Senator Byer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. From my perspective, I'm going to rely on Senator Brown, Senator Cruz, and Representative Krieger's advice, but for me, it seems reasonable that... that a child or a situation where you're working up to a removal to have one standard, but once the child is removed from the home, the standard should be higher than when you were looking at whether or not the child needs to be, because at that point in time, the state is taking custody of the child. And there should be a higher standard of care to make sure that everything possible can be done for that child or children is being done. And then when you get to the next step, which is the permanent placement, again, you are then taking the state out of the role, so to speak, because you're trying to get that child into a home again and no longer have the state be the child or be the custody of the state. So I can understand, it makes sense to me that you would have a ramp up and ramp down, that because when the child is in the care of the state, it should be a higher standard.
Senator Pazanski, did you have?
I do. The diligent and reasonableness, I understand. I mean, there are two different standards, and of course, the diligent is something that we can impose on ourselves. But I'm also concerned if once we do that, how does that play out with the feds? In the sense that if we don't meet diligent, are we going to have the courts make a special finding that it was still reasonable so we don't lose the money?
Mm-hmm. Chair Burdick, if I may, and Senator Pazanski, the federal government won't really care. I mean, it's not that they don't care, but their three standards are going to be, did we do reasonable efforts to keep the child out? Did we do reasonable to get the child back home? Or did we do reasonable to get the child into adoption? The other is a state's decision about how we use the standard for a child who's in foster care.
So the feds don't really measure us on this particular category.
Chair Burdick, that's correct. They won't be coming in to look to see, did you do diligent efforts, because they're not imposing that on us.
Yeah, but if our own state is saying that we will have a higher threshold of diligent, and if we don't meet that standard, does that put us in a position that if we don't have a finding from the court saying, no, it wasn't diligent, but it was reasonable, that's the issue.
But we're not changing the standard on the criteria that the feds grant the money to us for.
That is correct. We're not. And
that standard is unchanged.
Right. Internally, if a court decides that we should have met a diligent and we didn't meet that, then that is an issue for the agency and for the court. But it doesn't mean we would lose federal dollars.
Thank you for getting that on the record, Senator Pazanski. I sense a consensus here. Senator Byer, do you have a motion?
Madam Chair, I've got to find out which ones they are.
It's the three.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendments in the Senate Bill 414.
Senator Byer has moved the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 414. Is there any discussion? Any Senator Walker?
Yeah, Madam Chair, only about the diligent versus reasonable. I have a bill that you heard in this committee, and it's coming back to you. And we require the department to have diligent efforts to get back to the mandatory reporter in child abuse cases. Not reasonable, but diligent, and that language came from the department. And I would not have accepted reasonable.
So we did the right thing here.
So, yeah. Okay. I mean, it sounds
Walker,
like...
Are you asking to vote twice on these?
it just sounds like it, you know, it's causing the department angst, but... I think they can live with it.
Madam Chair, just let me say, it's not causing the department angst, it's just concern. But yeah. But I think at the end of the day, this is going to work very well.
Can I just commend the work group for having it in here in the first place? I think, you know, you're talking about kids here whose world has fallen apart, and sometimes all they have is each other. So, is there any objection to the amendment? So ordered. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 414 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation as amended.
Senator Beyer has moved Senate Bill 414 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Brown, you, Senator Cruz, want to fight over this one?
We'll carry it together. How's that?
Co-carries. I like it. Thank you.
I need all the help I can get, Madam Chair.
I'll be there for you.
Believe me, I hear you, sister. Okay. We will now...
Cool.
I'm going to go now. This
early.
Is early. We're now going to open a work session on Senate Bill 408. Council.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 408 comes to you from Senators Brown and Cruz, Representatives Krieger and Schaffler, prohibits the Department of Human Services from filing a petition to terminate a parent's parental rights to his or her child only if a court has previously approved the permanency claim for the child. You have the -1 amendments before you, which are basically substitute for the bill, and pertinent part will say no petition to terminate the parental rights of a child awards parents pursuant to subsection 1 of this section or pursuant to ORS 419B 500 502, 504, 506, 508, until the court has determined the permanency plan for child award should be adopted after permanency plan hearing pursuant to 419-476.
Senator Brown?
Well, Madam Chair, I was just looking. I think this was the agreed-upon work product of the non-legislative work group, but the technical nitty-gritty work group. I don't know what names we want to apply for all these work groups, but... For the Certified Smart People work group.
Nitty gritty work band.
Anybody from the nitty gritty dirt band want to come up here?
No, work band. We don't want to put dirt in.
Work band. Okay. okay. Technical change. Help me out here. Does this look to you like it's ready to go, Senator Brown? And Senator
my understanding is everyone's taking a look at this and it's got the thumbs up.
Yeah.
And I'm getting nodding heads from the audience.
Can you help me out here? I've got a -2 amendment here in my file, too.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the -2 amendments have gone by the board. Yes.
Okay.
I met with a whole... represent all these, three-quarters of these people in the audience were in my office this morning, and we looked through the amendments and for the second or third time, and it is the -1 amendment,
okay.
So they all feel most comfortable with.
And Madam Chair, just to give the committee some idea of context, and that is I think that in order to provide permanency for these children, the department has moved forward on these termination cases, and what has resulted in some cases is that there has not been an adoptive resource for the child, and we're hoping that this will make sure that there is an adoptive resource in place.
Okay, maybe we could have a motion on the -1 amendment and see if anybody jumps up and down. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move the -1 amendments in the Senate Bill 408.
Senator Beyer has moved the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 408. Any discussion? Any objections? So ordered. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 408 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved Senate Bill 408 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Who would like to carry this? Senator Brown has been nominated and elected. Okay. Now we will 409. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 409. Council.
Madam Chair, Senate Bill 409 comes to you from Senators Brown and Cruz, Representatives Krieger and Schaffler, and the bill allows the court to direct the Department of Human Services to place a child with relatives or persons who have a caregiver relationship with a child. You have in front of you the dash two amendments, which basically are a substitution for the bill, and basically says commitment of a child award to the Department of Human Services does not terminate the court's continuous jurisdiction, et cetera. And it goes on, the court may direct placement department to place the child award in the care of the child award's parents in foster care with a foster care provider who is a relative in foster care with another foster care provider in residential care, in group care, and in some other specific type of residential placement.
Okay. Sounds like a good one. Senator Brown?
I don't know that I have anything to add from that. I don't know if anybody from the work group does, but I think we've got agreement on this proposal as well.
Senator Cruz or Senator Representative Krieger, any comments? Okay. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move Senate, the dash two amendments in the Senate Bill 409.
Senator Beyer has moved the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 409. Discussion?
The dash one not happening?
It has disappeared into the ether, Senator Walker. I have no record of
it. Okay. Well, I've got one here. I'll write no.
Okay. Any objection? So ordered. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 409 to the floor for the UPATH recommendation as amended.
Senator Beyer has moved Senate Bill 409 as amended to the Senate floor with the UPATH recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Cruz, it's your turn. Okay, Senator Cruz will carry this one. And we will open a work session on Senate Bill 411.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 411 comes in from Senators Brown and Cruz, Representatives Krieger and Schaffler. And this bill appropriates additional funds to the Public Services Commission for the biennium beginning July 1, 2007, out of general funds for the purpose of improving legal representation for parents and children in dependency cases. Madam Chair, members of the committee, you have the dash one amendments in front of you, which basically allows expanded to it clarifies that these monies could be spent for improving training, support, and other resources to support court-appointed counsel. And then you have the dash two amendments, which insert in the blank the number $23 million. I would also like to direct your attention to the material that was passed out, and there should be, I don't see it here.
This should be fiscal.
Well, no, actually, there's the fiscal is...
$23 million.
There's a letter here from the Office of Public Defense Services from Ingrid Swenson to me when the last, just before the last time the work group met of legislators, we asked what would the Public Defense Services Commission do to ensure that these funds were spent in a way that would be best practices and to get close to the results of some of towards the results that Washington State got with its pilot project up there. You may remember we heard testimony from that, and we have information in your file concerning a pilot project in the state of Washington where they increase resources and reduce caseloads for attorneys representing parents. And what it showed was a significant drop in the amount of time that a child spent in foster care, and it also significantly reduced the likelihood or the possibility that parental rights would be terminated. And that would probably translate into significant savings if we were to get even close to those results. Madam Chair, members of the committee, there are the two amendments. There's the bill.
We need both amendments.
And if you have any questions concerning the March 6th letter to me, Ingrid Swenson is here and could address some of those issues.
Well, it's the... I'm sorry, I was hunting through my file here. I don't find her letter in my material here. Maybe you stole mine. You stole mine.
I very well could have done it.
Okay, so is there anything in this letter that we need to take into account before moving this bill?
I have a question.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, just for the record, as much as anything,
okay,
this was not before us at the last time. It
okay
was something the work group asked for to ensure or have something in writing that would show what efforts would be done to ensure quality representation and best practices.
Got it. Okay.
And Madam Chair, just to give you, I also have a document dated October 9th, 2006, which was our quality assurance subcommittee report. The legislative work group asked for a subcommittee to do to come up with a proposal, and I can get that to members, but I don't want to speak for all the members of my work group, but I think we felt pretty strongly that it was very critical, one, to improve the quality of training and the level of representation that the lawyers in juvenile court provide, but at the same token that compensation, which is an issue, that that also be increased and that the caseloads be reduced. So I think it's a couple of things, quality assurance, reduction in caseloads, and increased compensation, and I can get that report to folks. But also we looked very strongly to the Washington State pilot project, which, as Mr. Taylor showed, really clearly had a huge impact in reducing the number of days that children spend in foster care. It increased parental unification substantially and also decreased termination. So we were very pleased. So.
Yeah. And Madam Chair, I'd also point out that we have drafted a letter, the four members of the work group, to the co-chairs of Ways and Means and the subcommittee chairs, and because this isn't the only funding issue involved in this, it's clearly one of them, and we intend to go make our case before them as to why this should be included in the budget. So,
yes.
So sending this bill down fits in with the game plan.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Senator Walker.
There's $23 million being allocated, but I don't see anywhere in the bill or anywhere here. I see that it's going to improve best practices. We're going to do caseload limits, training, evaluation, attorney resource center, all these things, but where's the increase in the salary for these people who work for Phoenix? Am I missing something? I don't have this document.
Okay, well,
that's why I'm missing it.
Making you look at this matrix here.
Okay.
It's it's 25% compensation, 20% decrease in caseload.
Okay.
That's why we settled on that.
Okay.
Senator Cruz, maybe you could put this on the record.
Oh, I'm sorry. Madam Chair, what I was explaining to Senator Walker, the document you just had, we have a matrix, and the number we decided on was basically, and it's a rounded off figure that we put in the bill, but basically we were looking at a 25% increase in compensation and a 20% decrease in caseload, and with all of the testimony we heard and all of the work we put into it, we kind of centered in on that as a good place to be at this point in time, knowing we weren't going to change the whole world. But there was actually consensus on it. We all circled in on that part of the matrix all at the same time, independently, basically. It's really scary.
Madam Chair, and the other thing I would add is that I really see the impetus of this coming to this point is coming out of the Sensitive Review Committee, and Representative Krieger is the only person here from the Sensitive Review Committee, but I think clearly, and maybe you want to speak to your experiences, but clearly some of the issues in that case were the lack of adequate training by the lawyer or lawyers involved, at least at the trial court level, and the lack of resources to pay folks so that, you know, these cases weren't worth a lot of time and energy to be in.
They had some pretty compelling testimony that regard about how this happens on the ground in the court.
Yes.
Okay. Representative Krieger, did you want to add anything?
Madam Chair, what you've heard is true, and I think that was the thing that was most outstanding, that the difference in the quality of representation was causing a lot of the things that we found wrong to occur. So we think a lot of the savings are going to be incurred by the fact that they're going to have more equal representation. And when Judge Brewer came in and talked to myself and Joel Larry and went to Speaker Menace at the time and convinced her that this was probably the most important part of the package, that if without this part of it, you're not going to get the portion that we want really to come forward. The rest of it isn't really going to get done.
And Madam Chair, there's going to be some not necessarily measurable benefits in this as well. For example, caseworkers will no longer have to serve as quasi-lawyers. I mean, they can be caseworkers, and that's going to be a big help. So,
not this package, we hope.
Not this package?
That's the DOJ package.
Oh, that's the DOJ package. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
I know.
Okay, Senator Beyer, we have a -1 and a -2 amendment, and then we'll have a need for a motion to get this to its subsequent referral in Ways and Means.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd move the -1 amendments in the Senate Bill 411.
Senator Beyer has moved the -1 amendment to Senate Bill 411. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Beyer.
And Madam Chair, I'd move the -2 amendments in the Senate Bill 411.
Senator Beyer has moved the -2 amendments into Senate Bill 411. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered.
And Madam Chair, I would move Senate Bill 411 as amended to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior referral.
Senator Beyer has moved Senate
but
Bill...
But they do pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Beyer. Senator Beyer has moved Senate Bill 411 to the Ways and Means Committee by prior referral with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
As amended.
Senate Bill 411 as amended. Any discussion?
I like this. I like the efforts to increase the training, but I especially like the fact that they're going to give these people a little bit more money than $40 an hour, which is a pathetic pay for someone that's highly skilled as a lawyer.
Any objection? So ordered. Senator Cruz, would you like to carry this one?
It's going to listen.
Okay.
And I don't want to go there.
You don't want to go there? I think.
But I probably will. So.
I think we ought to send him anyway. What do you think, Senator?
I think so.
Okay.
We will open a work session on Senate Bill 412.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 412, fencing from Senator Brown and Cruz, Representative Krieger and Schaffer. The bill basically requires the Department of Human Services to notify an attorney representing a child in foster care and the court-appointed special advocate for the child when the department receives a report that the child has been abused. We have before us the -2 amendments, and what they do is basically set forth a new section in the bottom of the bill, amending 419B015, when a report alleging that a child or ward in substitute care may have been subjected to abuse is received by the department. The department shall notify the attorney for the child or the ward, the child or ward's court-appointed special advocate, the parents of a child or ward, and any attorney representing a parent of a child or ward that a report has been received. And B, the name and address of or other identifying information about the person who made the report may not be disclosed under the subsection. Any person or entity to whom notification is made under the subsection may not release any information not authorized by this subsection. And C, the department shall make the notification required by this subsection within 3 business days of receiving the report of abuse. And D, notwithstanding the obligation imposed by this subsection, the department is not required under this subsection to notify the parent or parent's attorneys that a report of abuse has been received if notification may interfere with an investigation or assessment or jeopardize the child's or ward's safety. Madam Chairman of the committee.
Thank you. Senator Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chair. These amendments, -2 amendments, have agreed upon by the Certified Smart People Work Group. I think everyone's on board. The bill came out of our legislative work group. The goal, obviously, to make sure that the children's attorneys and the parents of the child know when there's an incident of abuse while the child is in foster care. So.
Okay. Any other? Senator Cruz.
Well, the last part of the amendment was to make sure that we wouldn't have to notify the parents if they were the abusers. Quite simply.
Seems to make sense. Any other comments here? Senator Beyer, we have a -2 amendment.
Madam Chair, I move the -2 amendments into Senate Bill 412.
Senator Beyer has moved the -2 amendment into Senate Bill 412. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I'd move Senate Bill 412 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved Senate Bill 412 as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Yes.
Any object? Oh, Senator Walker.
I just want to point out that court-appointed special advocates are incredible assets to the system.
Yep, absolutely.
A child's attorney is not always there 100% of the time because they have so many cases, and hopefully we reduce that. But these costs are critical to protecting these children. And I'm working very hard with Senator Carter to make sure we get some really good funding for the CASA program.
I believe CASA had an increase in the governor's recommended. So.
But it's not enough.
Go, girl.
Well, these are highly, highly trained volunteers that just do an amazing job. I started the training process at one time and just was overwhelmed by the fact that I couldn't do it because it takes so much time, and just I'm full of admiration for the people who do.
Yeah, and Madam Chair, we have a huge number of people in Eugene who have signed on to be CASAs, and we don't have enough money to train them all, which is great. And you know, our CASA director is not interested in turning these people away, because you don't turn away a volunteer, especially one who has to invest so much time into the volunteer work. But we really need to beef up this program.
Okay, we have an amended, we've approved the amendment, as I recall. And did we move the, did you make a motion?
Motion sitting on the floor.
And any other discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Cruz, would you like to hear this? Okay. Let's see. Senate Bill, open a work session on Senate Bill 413.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 413 comes to you from Senators Brown and Cruz, Representatives Krieger and Shuffler. The bill requires the Department of Human Services to submit a report to the appropriate legislative committee dealing with child welfare matters. The report must include the number of children in foster care, the number of children that have been in more than one foster care placement, and three, the number of placements each child with more than one placement has had. Madam Chair, members of the committee, you have the Dash 2 amendments in front of you that requires a report to the legislature be filed on or before November 1 rather than September 1. That was to make it a bit easier for the agency. Then expands a list of information to be reported to include the percentage of children placed apart from siblings, the number of placement changes by foster care children, the number of percentage of children placed with relatives, the department's status of children in Oregon's protection system annual report. Madam Chair, members of the committee, I understand that this one of the questions that was raised the last time, whether these additional reporting requirements would cause a major fiscal impact. In my understanding, that's not the case. It will be minimal. I see Ramona Foley shaking her head. Yes, so that's the case.
Okay, so this does not have a subsequent referral. Senator Cruz.
Chair, when we looked at various things that could be reported, and you can report everything under the sun if you really want to, but what we included in the Dash 2 was basically those sorts of things that we thought had value but were pretty much already being collected, and so we didn't want to require a new reporting matrix on the department at this point in time. So they gave us a list of those things that would have minimal impact, and those are basically the things that were included in the Dash 2.
Okay. Any other comments, discussions? I don't see any panic faces in the audience, so Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments in the Senate Bill 413.
Senator Beyer has moved the Dash 2 amendments to Senate Bill 413. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. Senator Beyer.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 413 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Beyer has moved Senate Bill 413 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I'd like to thank the work group for their work. And I don't know how many countless hours they spent. Obviously, it was a few or a lot. But you would have thought out of seven bills, they could have got one of them right.
Oh, Senator Beyer, you are just so picky.
Actually, Madam Chair, we thought we had until we brought other people into the process. So.
Is there any other discussion or snarky comments?
I was thinking Senator Brown would have been here for that.
Yeah, okay. Any objection? So ordered. Senator Beyer.
Yeah, that was it. It's done.
No, I thought we just moved the amendment. Okay.
Nope.
Got the bill. Okay, Senator Cruz.
Okay.
I'm moving like three steps ahead. Okay, our last work session today is going to be on Senate Bill 282, and that covers the same subject matter as Senator Beyer's bill, which is 257. 457. I think I need more sleep. And so, Senator Beyer, I wanted to thank you for bringing this bill forward. And the only reason we're going with the Senate Bill 282 is purely technical reasons. And but we really appreciate your interest in this issue. So we will now open a work session on Senate Bill 282. Council.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 282 comes to you at the request of the Senate Judiciary Committee for the Juvenile Rights Project, and rather than go through the bill, let me simply go through the amendment, because the amendment removes the whole bill except for the Section 1 of the bill, which redefines foster home means any home maintained by a person who has under the care of the person in the home any child under the age of 21 years, and it's removing not related to the person by blood or marriage. And that basically what that will do is that will allow equal payment for a person who is related to the foster child, similar to and the same as an unrelated foster parent. Now, Madam Chairman of the Committee, I did have a discussion with John Borden before this meeting with the LFO, and this does not have a prior referral to Ways and Means Committee. I believe there is some money in the governor's budget for this, but this would exceed probably the amount that's in the governor's budget.
So what was the recommendation that we do? That we send it to the president with a recommendation that it go to Ways and Means, or that we just move it on and pray?
Madam Chair, I think we need to go to Ways and Means.
Yes.
With it. It's millions. I mean, it's not just a couple dollars.
Okay. Do we have a fiscal? I don't see a fiscal.
Madam Chair, we do not have a fiscal from LFO at this time, I do not believe, unless it came in within the last, since quarter one. But when I talked to him, I think we were talking at least $1 million,
okay.
I think. So
Senator Beyer, what is your
amount.
Wish? Is your wish to move it to Ways and Means today or to hold it until we find the fiscal?
Madam Chair, this bill is going to be my understanding, and Mickey could probably answer this question because we had a little conversation in my office about it, but it'll be well over $1 million, I think, to do the whole thing unless you means test it, which is what the governor's budget recommended was to means test. And I think I just saw $4 million. Fiscal on it is what they just signaled to me. So I think rather than hold it up here, I think we just have to send it to Ways and Means and work on funding it.
Madam Chair, we assumed that this bill was going to Ways and Means.
Okay.
So.
It's interesting it didn't have a prior referral because it would seem that it should as well. Senator Beyer, we have a dash 2 amendment.
Madam Chair, I move the dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 282.
Senator Beyer has moved the dash 2 amendments into Senate Bill 282. Discussion? Objection? So ordered. Senator Beyer, I think in a case like this where we don't have a subsequent, I think we have to move it to the President's desk for the recommendation.
Chair, I would move the bill to the President's desk with a recommendation that he send the bill to the Ways and Means Committee with a do-pass recommendation, as amended.
Senator Beyer has moved that we refer this Senate Bill 282 as amended to the President's desk with a recommendation that be referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Is there any
discussion
for the do-pass recommendation? Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, I would hope that the Ways and Means Committee could fund this program or this policy in its entirety. But in the absence of that, rather than lose everything on this issue, I think the committee should be prepared to accept a means-tested bill if we need to in order to get it started, and then we can work on it again in future sessions. I mean, my preference would be to not means-test it, but to get payment to those who absolutely can't afford to do the right thing for children. It would be better than to not get the kids with children or with relatives.
Correct, and it's my understanding that there's no means test for non-related foster parents.
Correct.
Madam Chair, this will be part of our discussion with co-chairs. So, because this is part of our package, so we intend on having the full global discussion on all revenue, all impacts, all potential savings, the whole nine yards. So, and this is part of that. So, okay.
appreciate both your work, Senator Cruz, and your work on it too, Senator Beyer and Representative Krieger down there. It's been a big player in this. So. Good work. Is there any objection to that motion, which is too long to repeat? So ordered. And, Council, you can draw up the proper paperwork to make the recommendation.
Madam Chair, if I could, before adjourn, I would like to thank Mara Gross for her efforts in this. She's made my life a lot easier over the last couple of weeks, and I appreciate it.
Mara, are you in here somewhere?
There.
Front. Okay. Yes, thank you.
She did very good work. She was
very good.
Yes.
Special thank you, and thanks to the entire audience, it looks like today, or almost the entire audience, for all the work. This is an incredible package. It's one of our main accomplishments of the session, in my humble view. Before we adjourn, committee, just remind you of our out-of-town meeting tomorrow. We have a work session on Senate Bill 571, and we have a couple of animal bills. Representative Krieger, you might want to come up and observe that one. Okay.
I'll take care of tomorrow.
The out-of-town hearing at the Lewis and Clark Law School starts at 10 a.m., and you have directions to the campus on your among your stuff today. So we are adjourned. See you tomorrow.
What about parking passes?
Huh?